All right, Sunday morning, 8:24. This is a teaching called God is Never in a Hurry. As if you didn't know that. God is never in a hurry. Okay. You can be turning to the book of Nehemiah. This is kind of on the back of the two prophets' corners that I had. Nehemiah chapter 9. All right, considering the two prophetic words today, we can see what God does, that God does not get in a hurry. He is accused by most of being slow. In the days ahead, dealing with a new dispensation and re-education of many, we are going to have the same tolerance and kindness as God shows. Think about it. Throughout all the ages, Lord deals with a generation and they all die out and here comes a new bunch. Look at it from his perspective. All right, Nehemiah chapter 9. Now the 20th and fourth day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. They stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani, Kadmiel, Shephaniah, Bunny, Sarabiah, Bani, and Chenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, and Kadmiel, Bani, I'm not going to read all these names, all these guys, stood up and blessed the Lord their God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who chose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites to give it, I say, to his seed. And hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Are we his seed and heirs according to the promise? Yes, we are. Romans chapter 4. And didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea. And showest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants, and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. You know, I don't understand how people could believe there's all these planets and all these galaxies and all these other kind of people out there. The scriptures do not bear that out at all. All you ever see God dealing with is really the deep state. There's either the deep state or his kids, period. There's just two categories in the Word of God. Read it from cover to cover. You'll find it so, just like I'm reading to you here. After their rebuilding process. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes, commandments. So God has always provided his word for his people. And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. same old cycle over and over again, and refuse to obey. It is a small world after all, isn't it? And refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks in their rebellion, appointed a captive to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Keep in mind here, they're just now coming out of Babylonian exile, been in exile for 70 years. And it devastated their land. They had to go back in and rebuild it. Does this sound familiar to you? Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, "This is thy God that brought us thee up out of Egypt," had wrought great provocations. This is another reset besides the one Moses brought them out. Over and over and over, repeat and repeat. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest not them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. I don't think anybody needs to be concerned today that God will not provide for his people. He has all through his word. Even if it was bringing them out of bondage, because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, so they were in exile, and then God brought them out, and he was faithful. He provided for them. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, that they possessed the land of Shihon, the land of the king of Heshbon, the land of Og, king of Bashan. These were people that had their nations there. God cleared them all out and gave it to his children. I'm telling you today, this is what's happening to us. The kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever. Their children also multipliest thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. Since God promised the land to Abraham, as Israel, the church, we're to inherit. We're heirs according to promise. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands. We could say that's the Democrats. Who knows? Or the elitists. Who won't say Democrats? Because not all Democrats are deep state. They just got some wonky mindsets. And gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, fruit trees in abundance. The Lord has spoken to Danny about, I'm going to give you wealth like you can't even think. You cannot even comprehend. But you know, he's going to manage it for him. You're going to manage it for God. That's why God gives things into your possession for you to enjoy, but also to give it and disperse it when he says do so. They did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testify against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them in the time of their trouble. When they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the land of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies. And testifiest against them, that thou mightest bring them again into thy laws. Yet thou dwelt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments. which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifiest against them by thy spirit in thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the land. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept the law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherein thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom and in the great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them. Neither turned they from their wicked ways. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou givest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. Because of this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. In other words, they're coming back to God. Because it was because we weren't where we needed to be is why what happened to us happened to them before us, them before them, and them before them. Who knows how far we could go back? All right. This was after Nehemiah and his group rebuilt the broken down walls of Jerusalem. God has gone from generation to generation, having to see the old guard go and the new guard come on board. And he has been slow to anger and showed kindness to them all. We are no different. The word in the strong slow here means head shepherd. Head or shepherd. God's slow to wrath. What he does not do quickly. He endures and he puts up with until the cup of wrath is just full. And then he has to act. You know what? If he didn't, there'd be no help for the generations to come, would there be? They'd be doomed. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures here on this. This is Psalms 103. Thank God he's slow to wrath. This is Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Yeah. All right, Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. He wants to be good. He's a good God. He is not a bad God. He's not a wrathful God. Sometimes he has to act, but he is not. That's not the way he is. Okay. Despite what anyone might say, that God's a mean God and allowed all this stuff to come on me, no. If he If you're in testing, then God's doing it for your good. And you will see that in the end of it, maybe not in the midst of it. All right, Proverbs 14, this is 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. What's my point in this? We're going to go through a reconstruction process, and we're going to have to be slow to anger. Said, well, you dummy, just get on up out of here. You've got to be patient. We are in a rebuilding project. We've got to be patient. We've got to be able to not treat people like, well, you ought to know this. Because most of them don't know this. They don't know. They have no clue, actually. All right, Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. All right, Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Well, that's a powerful scripture there. All right, let's keep going. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Well, let me just start with 12 here. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. He's saying here, do it from your heart, not, you know, like the Israelites used to rend their clothes. That's one of some of those forms of godliness. Yeah. God's looking for someone that's got their heart right. True repentance. All right, Jonah 4, verse 2. Now it's talking about Jonah's anger here, chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was upset because God was going to show mercy. He wanted to blast him, man. You talk about today, that's so classic for today, especially on social media platforms or podcasts. Some people, I just want to get my money, bless God, and just get all them old people executed. And, you know, just no mercy. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? God knows all. Jonah just knew, I hate the Ninevites. I just want to get rid of them. I just want them out of here. A lot of Christians feel the same way. And it's terrible. I mean, why did Jesus come? He came for the ones that don't know him, right? All right. All right, Nahum 1:3. This is also about Nineveh. This was later. I guess Nineveh strayed, came back around. Right here, we'll start verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he will reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Yeah, if he's provoked, he can sure let her rip. But that's not his nature, and that's not what he wants to do. All right, I want to look at James 1:19. This is the only one in the New Testament. Wherefore, my beloved, James says, brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In other words, the word there, slow, means dull. In other words, don't be so quick to want to jump in and start getting in the middle and causing division and saying things you shouldn't say. Even if you have the right and authority to do so, I'd do it very softly. All right, Galatians 5:22 in the Strong's talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The one I want to look at is long-suffering. Long-suffering, which I would say would be slow, right? Isn't that long-suffering? Forbearance, fortitude, or patience. We're going to have a lot of patience. It's kind of like, you know, after the day of Pentecost and all the Hebrews started squawking because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Just trouble starts. And it took cool heads to get a solution. They prayed, and the Lord appointed, the deacons to go and to feed. All right. Look at some more scriptures here. Romans 2. Let's look at verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou, O man, that judgest them, why do such which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Love's a better way. Walking by the Spirit will show me forbearance, long-suffering, patience. All right, 2 Corinthians. I know it's easy to get frustrated with people, especially when you think they ought to get it. They ought to know by now, you know. But you got to walk softly and carry a big stick, you know what I'm saying? All right, 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and faith. In other words, they're throwing a fit and acting ugly, but you need to maintain your maturity. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report as deceivers and yet true. Why do you think God has you walking through hard things? He's trying to get you to where you're not moved. Oh, just another day in the kingdom. You're not moved. You can't afford to have a bad day when you're the leader. Remember that. Mark those words. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not kindled or killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, and having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. So the apostles knew about this. They knew about the hardness and the things that they had to go through. And so, you know, the people don't. That's why they need strong, level-headed people that are not moved and aren't shocked by some of the things that might come forth. And in this day and age, there's liable to be some strange stuff. All right, let's keep going here. Ephesians 4. Paul speaking here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Okay, Colossians 1. Start with 9 there. The Lord's instructing us to get ready for this training that we're going to do, and we're going to all be doing it. I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm already doing it on television. People are hearing that. They're hearing what's being brought forth. For this cause, we also, verse 9, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. People act up because they don't have spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. See, they're going to learn what we learned about the inner life. Unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So when you've got natural people having to learn how to walk in a supernatural kingdom, it's a learning process. You didn't learn it overnight. And they won't either. All right, Colossians 3, this is 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Jesus was patient with the disciples. He rebuked them a few times. But he knew they didn't know. That's why he was there teaching them. All right, 2 Timothy, this is 3. Start with 10 there. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is one thing that I want everybody to know. You start turning in the direction of the Lord, you are going to suffer persecution. Just gear up, you know, instead of just thinking your whole world is falling apart and you don't understand why. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't it time to quit being so naive and so childish when it comes to the Christian faith? Why would everybody think everything should just be handed to me on a platter? No, this is a calling, and it's not an easy calling. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I know those that are associated to me, they're going to know the Word. They're going to know the Word. If I have to say I'm a stickler for anything, I'm a stickler for the Word, and it just rankles me when I hear Christians saying, you know, ain't no good. Can't take it. Not going to take it. All right. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be incident in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Be patient. And for time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're just itching for a new doctrine. Well, they're getting it, I'm telling you for sure. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. Isn't that what we're seeing? Unfortunately, yes. We can't get weary in well-doing because we've got to bring people to the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 18. Let's just start with 17. I start with 16. Yet if a man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So this isn't a walk that's just a breeze. It isn't. It's anything but. Noah spent 120 years trying to save his generation from the wrath to come. Only 8 made it out. And I'm sure he suffered a lot of persecution. I can just imagine. All right, 2 Peter 3, starting with verse 8 there. Excuse me. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That his Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's because of these people that don't know him is why he's tarrying. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Yeah. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Yeah. God's ministers are here to help people to weather the storm and to make it to the other side. It's going to take a lot of long suffering to do so. Just as it seems that God does not get in a hurry about things, we have to develop this mindset going forward in this rebuilding process. It's not going to happen overnight. I don't care who says what on whatever you're listening to. I think some people think it's just going to all turn on a dime. No, it is not. It's going to take decades and decades for this to all come into place. All right. One more. I'm going to have, okay. Go ahead and turn it off.